How has it been working through COVID?
I've been, you know what, I've been so busy. I really have been. It's I'm very, very lucky. And what I decided to do is, and I meant it really seriously to say, a lot of people, you know what, I thought our job as performers, as entertainers, as singers and what have you, it's taken us to another level. And it's like being back in World War II, where you had to go out there with the troops and rally them up and cheer them up and get them going. And that inspires you in your own self spiritually. So that's what I was doing. I was working. I was doing a lot of new projects I can talk about. And I just rode through it, really. I just wanted to make sure my family was okay and my friends were all right. And, you know, we just made sure that I had a very strict regime every day.
Well, first of all, let's talk about the 40th anniversary tour. Because I can't believe 40 years.
40 years, 40 golden years, platinum years as well, I should say.
Does it feel like 40 years? I guess not.
No, I'm still learning. I'm still educating myself. I'm still, you know, learning how to be the best of me I can be. And I mean, it was an experience. I'll give you an example. Last week, I was at the O2 Arena with the Gorillaz doing The Lost Chord, the track I did with Damon and the Gorillaz team. And it was like I was going on stage for the very first time. And in actual fact, it was, because I hadn't done a festival or a show for a year. Prior to that, I did a show in France, I think the week before, with my band. And that was for 6,000 people. But this was like stepping out on the stage. It was like going way back, starting all again to 20,000 people. So it was absolutely amazing. We did two shows, the Tuesday, the Wednesday, and then we did Broadmasters in Cornwall last Saturday. And that was 50,000 people. So it was like, it was, you know, my 40 years just came right into me. And it was like I felt like I was 18, 19 again. It just made me feel, I'm ready to go out there and do it again. I'm so excited, you know. So I'm looking forward, like, you know, like doing the Isha Theatre. And it's, for me, getting back on the stage and performing for the audiences, that's what it's all about with me, you know, the music. And I'm lucky because I'm doing it with some good friends, which is Shack Attack. And I know Bill and Jill and all the guys. We were always doing shows near each other, and we had the same agent at one point in the 80s, believe it or not. So I've recorded a smooth jazz album with Bill Sharp. So I mean, that was just ironic how things worked. And when Charlie told me I've got a new theater and we're putting the new things on and stuff, and I went down there, and it's a fantastic venue. It's really great, and I love the theater and the atmosphere to it. So we've got the wonderful Mr. James Whale coming on stage to present me.
I went and had a look at Isha a couple of weeks ago before. I mean, it wasn't finished yet, but it's wonderfully intimate, isn't it? And it's a proper, it's a proper theatre style.
I mean, Charlie has put so much work into it. You know, I've got to applaud him for that. And it's just a wonderful atmosphere. And it has a bit of the old and the new in there. And I think, you know, him and his team, they've really, you know, worked really hard to get it done in this short space of time. So I think the timing is right. I think people want to go out and enjoy themselves again, you know, hear some Shack Attack music, hear some imagination music, some body talk and illusion and music and lights. And I'm really looking forward to it. A lot of my friends around the surrounding areas that I don't always see, they're all coming down, you know, because they haven't seen me for a while. So it's going to be a really fun night.
And which do you prefer, the bigger gigs, like you said you did Broadmasters, which is 50,000 people, or the smaller ones where you get to, I guess,
I love,
faces?
You know, I like every audience, any audience, and every audience is an audience for me. But I must admit, I do like the intimate audiences, because you can see their faces, you can communicate more, I can take my time. But when it's like 30, 50,000 people, it's like, wow. And I was in Mossiac in France 3 weeks ago, just before they changed everything, and my band was there, and we were there with Sister Sledge, and it was 6,000 people there, but they had it in a lovely, beautiful building, but it was kind of open air in the same kind of way. And this was the very first show I've done since February of last year. We were in Mozambique last year, February, and So for me, it was so exciting. And I came and I come through the audience and stuff. I always do these, I like my entrances. So, you know, so it was like, wow. And, you know, it was like, just so I can see people, you know. So, as you know, it for me, an audience is an audience. That's the main important thing. And long as they're enjoying themselves and having a great time, that's what counts.
And you mentioned earlier that you were on stage with Gorillaz last week. You're getting a whole new audience, aren't you? You've got your audience from the 80s, who are the hardcore, and now you're introducing your music to a whole new generation.
Yeah, well, The Lost Chord, the track I did with the Gorillaz, is just blown up. I mean, the video has been 8.5, nearly 9 million people have watched it on YouTube. And there's me dressed up as Poseidon, this creature protecting the ocean from man, who's ruined the, you know, on the ecological side of things, you know. And it was a great experience to even doing the video. It was about 5 hours in preparation and makeup, and they moved my ears to my head, and, you know, I had some great people working with me. And and hopefully we're going to go back and record some new stuff, but I've also done some other stuff with William Orbit for his new album. And I have another track with a 70s, late 70s Belgium icon, Plastic Bertrand. And I've done another project with DJ Victor Simonelli, which I forgot all about, and he's just mixed it and sounds really cool. And then I've got Jorge Vasilo, who's a Brazilian artist. I'm working with him. We've done the video, but we're waiting for things to ease down in Brazil before releasing that. And then for the 40th anniversary, we're gonna have a box set, which is coming out at the end of next year. So we'll be touring in the UK and in Europe and other parts of the world. You know, we just have to take it gradual, you know. As long as they open the doors, we're gonna come in there with the band and celebrate 40 years of Body Talk, yeah. Musicalized Flashback, In the Heat of the Night, Changes, all these songs, you know. As you said, a whole new generation, especially during the last year and a half, have now been introduced to all of this music. And through The Lost Chord as well, you go on to all the different social media platforms, and you go on to Instagram and Spotify, and you have the links, so people will see, oh, The Lost Chord, and they'll see Lee John. I did a version of Police and Thieves, which was number one in the reggae charts, so they see that. Then they'll see some other things I've done, and then it goes to Just an Illusion, then it goes to this one. So they will discover this whole, you know, treasure chest of music that some of them didn't even realize existed, and then they go onto YouTube because all the connections. So all of a sudden I'm finding people from South America, from the Orient, from the States, all, you know, re-gravitating. And of course, they've used a lot of our music in films and on TV and stuff.
And obviously the way we listen and we get music has changed. Downloads, streaming, platforms. I'm guessing the way you make music has also changed as well. And has it changed for the better? Is it easier now?
Wow, that's a good question. That is a very good question. I still love some of the old ways. Like, for example, when I record, I always want to have a sense of realism. So I'll always try and get a real guitar player to play, a real bass player to play. Of course, the vocals, some people add effects to it and stuff, but I always make sure I do. I'm a person, I do all my background vocals. I always have, you know. And so I will track and track and track. So we kind of use a bit of the, like, even my studio is half analog and it's half digital. So I use, you know, a bit of both. So there's some good, you know, like certain loops that can inspire you. But I still feel that, you know, when you listen to vinyl, there's that something. And a lot of the music we loved, especially from back in the day, they were all real instruments being played. You know, you listen to Luther Vandross, Never Too Much, you're hearing da 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 da, and you've got Marcus Miller on bass, you know, and your end real chords being played. Those are individual people playing them. So that energy of that person playing makes the difference to those tracks. You know, Quincy Jones, the orchestration, you know, on Don't Stop Till You Get Enough, you know, the real percussion and stuff like that. There is something that's very special about those sort of performances. And I've been working on a new album as well for Lee John, and I've been using a lot of real musicians as well on that. I've actually got one track which nobody knows yet about it. I'm not going to say the name, but I have a French African singer on it, Calamity. Her name's Calamity, and I have Grace Jones's son singing. He's kind of singing, rapping on it, but he has this new way of like a melodic sensibility about him. So, and that's exchanging young with the vintage, as we say, together. You know, so there, you know, answering your question, it's a combination of the two in a sense. I can make music sometimes much quicker now because of technology.
Yeah, in some bands, I'm assuming will probably go into the studio and everything will be done on a computer, like, you know, maybe the instruments are already on the computer and the vocals.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, for example, and I had an album called Retropia on it. I had a solo number one record called Do It Right Now, and this guy who played bass on it, I just sent him the track and he played live on it and he gave me a few different versions of it, and I was saying, I like this bit, could you do this, and we were doing it through the, you know, through the internet, you know. And even recently, some people have said, look, there's a track called Crash and this guy wants to rap on it. And I thought, let me hear what you're doing. Is it right? I'm not quite sure, you know. So it's like piecework, you know. It's like you can do a little bit. If I'm stuck, I can phone somebody and say, I'm going to send you the stem, see what you can do, you know. And that's, I did that with William Orbit, in actual fact. He gave me a few stem ideas. So we had the keyboards, the drums, a few different bits. And then I did a complete vocal arrangement. Because in my voice, I always hear the strings, I hear brass. So all my the elements of my background vocals are based on brass and stringed arrangements, in a sense, you know, and pads. I hear that with the voice, because I feel the voice is an instrument as well. So I get time to experiment, and then I pass it on, and then someone does their bit, they pass it back, you know. And so that could be the fun of it. I think, you know, years ago, it did take a little bit of time when you had the tape and you had to readjust things and editing and you know, but now technology has obviously made it a lot quicker.
And you've also been doing your documentary series as well.
I have. A few years ago, when I first did my jazz album, Feel My Soul, and I went to a place called Rochefort in France, and a good friend of mine said, why don't you film yourself making of the album? Sorry, and I said, just doing that hurt my throat. And I thought, oh no, getting up in the morning and being filmed, oh no, I wouldn't like that. So we did it. And so I got behind the camera even more so. I was starting to do my own videos anyway, but this was a very integral situation where I was filming the musicians, I was filming the whole concept of each track and how we were putting it together. And so we had about 8-9 hours. And so that led me into doing a documentary for SOS Children, which I'm a patron for. We did one in South Africa. We did one in Zambia. Uh-huh. We did one in Tunisia after they had the shooting on the beach. We went to see the kids and talk to the kids and raise profile to raise money for them. So I did a short film for that. And then I've recently, just before lockdown, I was in St. Lucia, and I did a film on St. Lucia, because that's where my parents come from, and I always wanted to find out a little bit more about what St. Lucia was all about. So I filmed, from my point of view, like a little insight to come into St. Lucia, not like, like a postcard, but in a sense, from how people on the street see St. Lucia, how the locals see St. Lucia, and then how we see it. So it was, it's quite interesting. And then I also did a small short film called Police and Thieves about the community in North London, or people's lives and how their lives have changed and how they've improved their lives, because there's been so much negativity. And I felt people need to be talking about how, even though things are down, how they can uplift themselves. So I compiled it together with the song Police and Thieves, and I've got my best mate in it, Leroy Logan, who was portrayed by John Boyega in the Small Axe series, and Tyrone Huntley portrayed Lee John. So there I am 40 years later being portrayed on the screen. And then it brings me up to Flashback, the history of UK black music, which I've been working on for quite a long time. Over 100 interviews, over 600-700 hours, which we've been piecing together. And one of my editors and I, we were going, you know, using TeamViewer, which is a thing you can see some, they can see you, you can see them, you can work together in editing. And I had a great guy called Noah who was really helpful. So we managed to timeline what we've got. And the flashback is the history of UK British black music starting from the turn of the century till today. And of course, we are nearly finished. We've got probably about 5 or 6, 7 people to interview from the period of this period, but we've got those that are living from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. I have a lot of people that I've interviewed, and it's wonderful to hear their stories, their feelings, their emotions of how it was for them. But also what I wanted to capture was the success, and all of these people who have contributed to British black music, groups like Level 42, even Shack Attack are in there, you know, Loose Ends, Soul to Soul, you know, Five Star, you know, Jackie Graham, David Grant. And those are just the 80s ones, but I've got 90s like Sharon Nelson from Massive Attack. Oh my God, it's just, there's a lot.
Sounds like a massive editing job that you've got in front of you there.
It is. But I tried to be very organized in how we did it. And then we touched on the classicals side of things. So we even had a young opera singer. We had Shirley Thompson, who's a huge conductor and arranger. She's amazing. So it's opened me up to so many different colors of the rainbow of British black music. So, and there's a bit of imagination in there, of course, there's a touch of it, but it has been an exciting journey. We're getting close to finishing it. So it's showed me the evolution of how music has been so inspiring to everybody, but also myself, but also how to maintain, you know, really, and keep going. And it's not really that much about the hit record anymore for me personally. It's great to see people enjoying it because, as you so rightly said, it's about getting on these playlists on Spotify and stuff like that, and people discovering you. And sometimes there's a track that the record company wouldn't like, but you want it, you like it, you can put it out there, and people can let you know how they feel about it, you know?
I guess that's a plus as well of the way that music's gone, because I'm guessing in the 80s, 90s, it was up to your record label what went out, and now you have more control of what you're putting out there.
Oh yeah, I mean, we were lucky because we were very smart to agree, myself and my producers, with Body Talk, that was the single. With the second one, In and Out of Love, which was also a hit, that was a single. And then when we did Flashback, it was like, okay, let's go slightly up tempo with Burning Up as the B-side. That was a single. And then they said, oh, well, you now have to do an album. So they didn't have control as to say, right, okay, well, this is the choice. As it got onto the third album, then it became a lot more difficult because they wanted everything. You know, we couldn't farm it out as much, you know. So it was, then the industry starts coming in. They know what you're doing and then they want to try and manipulate it, you know. And there's something about, in the UK, we have our own sound. We have our own thing. I love American music, and it's inspired me so strongly. But we have our own Caribbean, Asian, Cockney, Northern, Southern England, Wales, Irish. All of that combustion of elements creates what we are now. And America does not have that. America is really rich with what they have, especially on hip-hop and R&B. But we have something that's a little bit different, you know? And what happens sometimes with record companies, they would, after you had your moment here, they'd farm you over to America, which is great, and you do work, you go over there and you do it. But we did an album called Closer, and we had a number one big dance record with David Morales called Instinctual. And it was huge, it was a really huge record. But it wasn't the sound that we had, you know. I enjoyed it, and I was into Anita Baker at the time, so everything I was doing was sounding like Anita Baker.
And so, I guess you had to change the way that you were in order to target the American audience.
Well, yeah, it was that. We worked with Nick Martinelli, who worked with Loose Ends, and we did a track called The Last Time, which was big in the R&B chart. It was really big. But the audience that knew us, especially in Europe, didn't even realize we were the same group. There was something, you know. So I when I came back, I realized there's something here that we have. And sometimes you don't know it until you go away. You never know what you've got till it's gone. Listen, babe. That was an old song from years back. But as I said, you know, for me, it's just a privilege to now be going back out there. And I'm doing also the Pride in Hastings on Sunday. And then we're looking forward to treading the boards down at the Isha Theatre. And I must thank Charlie and give him a really big, big, big hug, because he, you know, he was the one saying that, you know, yes, you've got to come and do it, definitely. You've got to do the opening. I'm thinking, okay, yeah, listen, why don't we get Shack Attack, which I suggested. And he said, why not? Let's do it. So he went with it, you know, and I'm really happy about that. So
are we going to hear the old hits and the new? How's it going to work?
Oh, yes, you're going to hear the old and new. You're going to hear quite a lot of variation, because we change things up, but we make you feel good. And that's the main thing. That's the whole thing. I make you cry. I make you feel happy, you know, and I make you feel sexy, which is what they all want to see, you know. And it's funny, because even with the Gorillaz track, The Lost Chord, it has elements of the past within it, in the feel, you know. Though Damon has this sort of, this kind of David Bowie sort of tone, which I said to him, I felt like Luther Vandross to his David Bowie, like when David Bowie was doing Young Americans, you know. It felt that kind of thing. And so I think it's the timing is right.
We're talking about sexy songs, Body Talk. Whenever that comes on in the office, everyone just stops and says, this is such a sexy song.
And I wrote it on my mother's kitchen table in North London.
Did
I'm very
you?
Proud of that. Yes, I did. I wrote it on my mother's kitchen table. Tony gave me a piece of music, and then I wrote the lyric and I did the melody. And I remember at the time, I was doing loads of little sessions here and there, and I met up with Ashley, my bass player at the time, and said, look, I'm going to the studio, because originally I had another song which was produced by Trevor Horn, who produced Frankie Goes to Hollywood, Grace Jones, Thompson Twins, but before that he was in a group called Buggles, where Video Killed the Radio Star. And just as that record broke, he had been working with me prior to that, and we did a song together called Got to Be Good, which never saw the light of day, because I took it to the record company. Morgan Kahn was the A&R guy at the time, who really loved what I was doing. And he sent it to America to add American musicians on top of it, and they lost the master tape.
No.
And they lost it, and that was supposed to be the first single for Lee John.
You must have been devastated. I guess that's something that wouldn't happen nowadays, because you'd email it,
or you got hard drives. You know, I have a version of it, which was a rough mix, but that was it. And so for them, it was an embarrassment. And so they said, look, we know you're a great writer and whatever. So can you, there's a piece of music we'd love you to listen to if you really like to do it. So Tony Swain, who is my producer, he gave me the cassette. I took it home and I felt there's something special here. Really special. It just needs a little bit of work, a little bit of tweaking here, but something special. And I spent time crafting and molding and creating the lyrical side and the melodies and stuff, and ended up with Body Talk, and that's what happened. And we went in the studio, and I brought Ashley in, and I was very much into Ashford and Simpson at the time. So I said, let's try and do like an Ashford and Simpson thing. You know, I love their writing as well. So that's what we did. And then everything was down to the mix and EQing, pushing up the bass sound and everything like that. But all the vocals, as you hear, it was like one take, the lead vocal, then we stacked the background. So that's the story, and I'm proud of that.
Well, it's quite different to your others, and against all other music as well, and there's nothing quite like it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are asking me, can you return to that? And that's why I've been listening to a lot of stuff, and I've been doing, as I said, I've been working with different people, you know, as I said, William Orbit, and I did something for him, and I've done something with the Girls Bond, you know, the violin players. I've written, there's a classical piece of music I love called Scheherazade by Rimsky-Korsakov, and we've taken a section of that song, and I wrote a whole new lyric and melody to it, and they've played, and William's going to producing it. So, and it has a kind of imagination sort of feel to it. So, but I've got different thoughts in my mind now and different things I want to say, but I still feel that people want to escape through me. They, you know, they see me, they think, I have to escape through Lee. I've had it every day. I got to escape through. So I'm trying to, it's going to come. I'm working on some different stuff and work with some different people for the Lee John album, though we're going to have a 40th Imagination box set, which will be out next year. We'll have all the greatest hits, it will have all the different albums, plus bonus tracks and some album tracks as well that never came out, and versions of songs that, like So Good So Right was halfway to paradise or something, it was a different lyric, things like that. And then there's some mixes of some of the songs that no one's heard before. We have Kenny G on a few tracks playing on, and it's really wicked. It's really wicked. So it's a value for money, and it's going to be a physical box set. So it's going to be on vinyl as well as on CD.
So when's that one out?
That will be, I think, October, fourth quarter next year.
Can you sing Music and Lights to me, please?
Oh, I can do better than that. Hold on a second. Let me see if I can do better than that. It's a longer version. Around in the garden.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, and I'll hopefully see you at Isha Theatre. I really look forward to seeing the 40th edition album, and also the documentary when it's ready.
Yes, that'll be out very soon. Well, I'm hoping by the end of this year. Check the website www.leejohn.com with three E's.